Hello and welcome to Ask the Vet. My name's Beth Broom. I'm a certified canine behavior consultant and also a longtime vet tech here in the Valley. And interestingly enough, today I don't have a vet in the office with me. So we're just going to talk about behavior. And I just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. So please, please feel free, especially because I'm in here by myself looking for someone to talk to. Please feel free to give me a call. The number here is 963-2976. If you could just stick with behavior, if you have a question in that regard, that would be great. So I look forward to taking any calls. I wanted to start out by talking about the time that it's best to get your dog appropriate socialization when you get a puppy. I know we have a lot of dogs at the shelter, and I'm a big promoter of adopting a pet, but a lot of people still want to go, you know, get a puppy, and I think that there is a lot you can do to help prevent unwanted behavior problems with a puppy. I think it's important to know that the most sort of influential time in a puppy's life is 3 weeks to 3 months. I know that's difficult when a lot of us get puppies at around 8 weeks old. You're not able to obviously be part of what happened to them before you get them, you know, from that 3 weeks to 8 weeks. But when you do, when you get that puppy, I think it's important to start appropriate socialization right away. And what I mean by that is getting them out into the world. I know we're always concerned about dogs picking up diseases and things like that from other dogs, and I do think that you should not be taking a little 8 to 16 week old puppy to the dog park necessarily, although we have amazing dog parks in this valley. You should definitely be taking them out into the world, into the public, walking them in town. You know, we have a very dog-friendly valley, so there's a lot of places to go. Just avoiding the dog park is super important. And there's a laundry list of things you should be exposing your puppy to try to allow them to be excited about those things and not be fearful of them. Because after that sort of 3 to 4 month age, everything that they haven't been exposed to, the sort of their default setting in their brain is to be scared of it. And what we'd like to do is overcome that or never allow it to be an issue because they've seen these things and it's always been a positive experience. Just want to remind everyone to please, if you have any behavior questions, give me a call, 963-2976, and let me know what you're concerned about. The other thing, you know, when we talk about puppies and appropriate socialization is appropriate dog exposure. I think one of the biggest complaints and the biggest problems I get is dog-on-dog aggression or just reactivity. I don't like to use the word aggression because I think it scares people. And these dogs aren't horrible, evil monsters. They're just dogs, and they're reacting poorly to other dogs. So 99.9% of aggressive type behavior, growling, barking, lunging, whatever, stems from some type of fearful response. So I think that when I say appropriate dog exposure, what that looks like is not, you know, that's the reason we don't go to dog parks with little tiny puppies, is there are a lot of older dogs who don't like them, and they will become a little too rough with them. You know, dog fights happen. We want to just avoid all of that. So making sure that your dog is getting appropriate exposure with well-vaccinated adult dogs that are known to be comfortable with puppies. So many older dogs don't like puppies. And who can blame them? Frankly, not me, because I think I would be super annoyed if I was an older dog and I had a little puppy hanging off my face all the time. So just knowing, you know, there's also lots of great older dogs who are good with puppies. So setting up ways for your dog to interact with other friendly, well-vaccinated dogs is super, super important to avoid the common dog-on-dog aggression. That is definitely one of the biggest concerns and one of the biggest problems I get calls for, as well as, you know, we see a lot of sort of territorial aggression behavior, and I see a lot of resource guarding. So some of the things you can do about things like resource guarding is, And again, starting with getting a little tiny puppy, used to having things taken from them, so that they, you know, they have a bone. You want to practice taking it away in a nice way, always exchanging it for another item of equal value so that they don't feel like things are being taken from them. Or if the thing is being taken, they get something else for it. So, you know, remembering to set your puppy up for success by practicing these types of things, practicing touching their ears, their feet, their mouth, all those things are really important to set them up for success in the future. So I just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Please feel free to give me a call, 963-2976, if you have any behavior-related questions regarding dogs, training questions, anything like that, please feel free to call in. I'm sitting here all alone. Okay, so, you know, one of the other sort of interesting topics that people bring up when they call and have issues with their dogs is, you know, punishment. And what does that look like? What am I supposed to do when I walk in the house and, you know, the dog knocked the trash can over and tore everything up, and he does it every day, and he knows that as soon as I get there, he knows that he's done something wrong. I have a call. Thanks for calling. What can I help you with?
Yes, we have a dog that's about 2 years old, a rescue dog.
Okay.
We think half greyhound, half black lab.
Okay.
Extremely sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But and he's good about everything except once he gets out the gate, whomp, he takes off.
Oh yeah.
So we don't know how to get him to stay. He's a runner.
He's a runner. That is such a common problem. And when, how old was he when you got him? You said, I'm sorry.
Probably a year and a half.
Okay.
And he had been in a kennel for about 6 months.
Uh-huh.
He was a rescue dog.
Okay. And have you worked on any type of training for the word calm? And
yes, and generally he comes, but about every 3 or 4 days he gets out and off he goes.
Okay. And just will not come back.
No. And then an hour or two later he'll show up, or he'll run from one side of town, which is my son's house, across town to my house.
And when he bolts out of the gate, are you standing? It happens when you're standing there yelling for him, or does he sneak out when you're not home?
He does both.
Oh, well, that's good. That's easy to fix. No, what I was going to say in regards to sneaking out, unfortunately, that tends to be more of a management issue. You know, you can't do much about a behavior that's happening when you're not present. You know what I mean?
Right.
So certainly checking your gates, making sure that everyone is shutting things appropriately, your fence is appropriately, you know, so you can't dig out or jump over or whatever. But as far as the come command, that's like one of the hardest ones for most dogs to really, you know 100% of the time, because their drive is so much that they just take off. I would recommend that you really work with a high incentive reward. You know, most people, when they train their dog, they either just give them a little treat or something. You need to figure out what motivates your dog, in the sense that what is more worth it than running away? Is there anything in his life he loves more than running? That's the first question.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you figure out what that is, and for some dogs, that's a ball. And for some dogs, that's a hot dog.
Okay.
Then you need to start practicing getting him to understand that when he comes to you, he does get that reward initially every time. Okay.
Okay.
And you can start that either in a closed environment where you know he's not going to run is the best way to do it, like your backyard. Just simply call him. Give him the reward. Start to for him to understand that, oh, when I come, when I'm called, even though it's easy, the gate's shut, why wouldn't I come? I get a great reward. And then from there, you make it harder. You know, eventually you take him out of the gate, maybe on a very long line, and practice. And giving him the ability to think he can run, but you have a long line attached to him. And when he doesn't come the first time you call him, you would reel him in nicely, calmly, and then reward him. And it's frustrating because he didn't really do what you asked. but it's right. starting to get him to make the connection that it's worth coming, and here's why.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay. Unfortunately, it's not an easy fix, and it is very time-consuming, but I promise you that if you work really hard at it, it will start to pay off.
And what do you do after he's run and he shows up? I mean,
sadly,
run across town.
Nothing.
Okay.
Because
I'm so glad you're here and you're safe.
I mean, that's good. I mean, you can do that. But again, I think I would probably do nothing because we don't. You certainly don't want to punish him because he needs to want to come back. And
okay.
if every time he comes back, you get mad at him and scold him and get, you know, angry at him. I mean, who wants to come back to that? You know, when I knew I was in
right.
trouble with my parent, when my, you know, I stayed out past curfew, I don't
right.
want to come back knowing my dad's sitting there getting ready to yell at me. So, you know,
right.
now if he was sitting there with a brownie, maybe I'd come back. But so I think it's the same concept. You don't want to get mad at him, even though you're mad, because he needs to want to come back. And I don't necessarily want you to be super pumped either. I think I would just do nothing.
Just open the door and you go and
get him.
And...
Yeah. Yeah. Because
okay,
we want the reward to come when he comes on command. You know?
Okay. Very good.
That makes sense.
A big reward.
Yes.
Yes. That does. Absolutely. Great tip.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. So just a reminder, it's the call-in show, so please call in 963-2976 with any animal or dog, excuse me, behavior-related questions. And I'll be here. Oh. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. How can I help you?
I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
I have got a new puppy.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's from the animal shelter, so we're very fortunate.
Yeah.
But my real question is, she does really great in the crate at night,
mm-hmm.
and she still can't really be trusted yet on her own.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
We believe 5 months.
Okay, okay.
So we've had her maybe a month now.
Okay.
And so she cries when we leave and have to leave her in the crate.
Okay.
And I've left before she's crying and barking, and then I've come back 2 hours later and I can hear her from the street. So it's pretty distressing for her, even though we've given her really nice treats and
mm-hmm.
special rewards only when she's in the crate.
Okay.
So I was curious if you had any tips on how to get her comfortable being in the crate when we're not there.
Yeah, and how does she do at night when she's in the crate? Like, does she just go in when you ask her to and lie down and is calm? Or do you have any time where she's unhappy?
For the most part, it's good. She sometimes will leave a light on so
okay.
she can see we're still there, and then that'll calm her down.
Okay.
But and a little bit of whining, but not long and not much.
So, okay.
You know, that's positive.
That is positive. I would recommend a couple things, and maybe you're already doing these. One of the things I would recommend is some type of background music or noise. Obviously, you could do a calming. They've done studies on all sorts of different music that calms dogs more than another. To me, it's just the matter of having a noise in the background. I don't care if it's the TV, the radio. One study was that reggae is the thing to calm dogs. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I like it is that they can't listen to sort of, they can't fixate on the external stimulus. Obviously, we know dogs hear very well, so I'm sure they're hearing things like cars and stuff. But a lot of dogs that have some sort of separation anxiety issues will start to really hone in on the outside noises, and they know what your car sounds like. They know what the garage sounds like. They know. Mm-hmm. So they're fixating, and maybe they hear, you know, they can never really calm down. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend some type of background noise, whatever that is. And I would also recommend, you know, dimming the lights, just making it a really tranquil environment. As far as what you're giving her for like the yummy treat, what are you using?
So we have little bone marrow.
OK.
Slices, I guess.
OK. And you does she.
So it gives her...
Go ahead.
Oh, she has. It takes time for her to eat them. So okay. I was hoping that would be a nice distraction.
And that's the perfect idea. I would try changing it up and adding something that might be slightly more different that she's not used to, and maybe even potentially yummier. And like, I love the Kong, and you can stuff it with something, anything from a low-fat peanut butter, a low-fat cheese, a canned dog food. I mean, you can get really creative, obviously based on her stomach. We don't want to give her diarrhea or anything like that. But then what you would do is freeze it and put it in there. And I think it is a little bit more enticing, especially when you figure out what she really, really loves. I would try something different like that and freeze it and put it in there. I would also consider feeding her meals in the crate with the door open.
Mm-hmm.
Just as another way to get used to the crate. But so I think the biggest thing is a background music to be distracting, something else, something additional that's super yummy that she only gets in there, what you're doing. I would just try changing it up. And then if you can get her a good walk or a play session before you put her in there, those would be some starting points for her. I mean, we can go as far as desensitizing her to, you know, your cues that you're about to leave, trying to not make a big deal out of putting her in and taking her out of the crate. So that just is like sort of a benign experience. You know, a lot of us will be like, we'll be right back. It's going to be okay. Trying not to do any of that and just putting her in there, shutting the crate with all her yummy stuff and leaving so that she doesn't start to overly anticipate what's about to happen. Those would
be great. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, and there's one other thing. There's a great pheromone, calming pheromone for dogs that they make a diffuser. And a lot of dogs seem to have a good response to it. And it's, you could plug it in near her crate. And you could Google that. I can't think of the name of it right now. But it's a calming dog pheromone diffuser.
Okay. Great. Kay? Thank you.
You're welcome.
For those.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye now. Okay, so any questions and related, you know, dog behavior, training, anything like that? This is a call-in show, and the phone number here is 963-2976. I wanted to try to get my thought together and talk a little bit more about just some general tips on behavior and behavior problems. I think we see a lot of dogs being adopted from the shelter, which that's what I've done. I promote big time. But a lot of, I got a call. Thanks for your call. How can I help you?
Are you just doing dogs today? I have a cat question.
It depends on what it is. I can try to answer.
Well, I've got this little kitty, my daughter's kitty that I am taking care of. Great little guy. And recently I moved into a one-room studio where I couldn't have a litter box, and I'm not super compatible with having that much dander in my space. And so I have a garage for him upstairs that isn't heated, but I'm planning on getting him a pad from Amazon or something.
Yeah.
Not a heated, you know, I guess you don't want a heating pad. It doesn't have to be super hot.
Right. No, just warm. And they even make enclosed heated like things too, where not enclosed, but like where they can crawl into it and stuff.
Yeah. He I put in a cat door to the outside.
Okay.
But he's a real roamer and mouser, and I have been shutting the door so he can't go outside at night.
Okay.
I'm kind of on the urban wildlife interface. I don't want him to be a meal.
No.
He's been really, since the move, he's been really, I don't know, his stool is, really runny. And, he's usually not very needy at all. But I think he's just still really freaked out and about the whole prospect.
How long have you been in the new place?
It's been a couple months now.
Okay.
At least, yeah, 2 years. 2 to 3, actually.
Okay.
But, you know, now that winter is coming on, I've been, you know, locking the kitty door at night. And I just think he's so used to, you know, in the summer he's up all night long, all the time.
Right. How old is he?
He's older. I, you know, like I said, it's my daughter's cat that I get to take care of.
Yeah.
And so he's a little salt and pepper.
Okay.
He's black with white feet and a white blaze on his breast.
Nice.
Yeah, total sweetheart. But
and so he's just acting off.
Yeah, a little pepper in his hair.
Okay.
You know, he's not super clean. He's not, like, rubbing against my leg when I'm trying to feed him or anything like that.
Okay.
But, you know, I kind of need to give him a little bit more affection, but I just wonder if this move thing is going to settle him down at some point or when it, you know, when we lived in the main part of the house last winter,
mm-hmm.
you know, he would just be out for the day and,
right.
and very rarely go outside
right.
When it was cold.
Right.
And I just can't quite understand why he's
acting different.
So loose, et cetera.
Did you change his diet at all?
No, he's always like that Pet's Pride from, I get it at City Market.
Okay, and that's always been what he's been on, so no change there.
No, and I've tried like other stuff.
And is he a hunter?
Oh yeah, he'll definitely, yeah, he'll bring back mice in the summer quite often. And
have you had him to the vet recently?
No, I don't have a lot of extra money.
No, I understand. I totally understand.
With that, so he's never seen the vet. I've had him for a couple of years now.
Okay. And I just ask that because with the loose stools and things, if he's a hunter, you know, I mean, you look at, there's different, I mean, you know, obviously it could be related to stress and the change in environment. Cats are super sensitive emotionally and physically. It sort of comes out physically and it can come out in like a GI distress. That being said, you know, you wouldn't want to miss something simple if he had a bacterial overgrowth in his gut or worms or something like that. So I don't know, you know, considering taking him in and, you know, maybe even just getting a stool sample checked might be a good starting place for him.
Okay.
And the other thing, I mean, you know, setting up his environment to have a nice, you know, as comfortable as you can make it for him and as similar to what he had as far as, like, if he had a certain items like a bed or a blanket or whatever, anything you can put out there that maybe smells like the inside of the house. And it sounds like the cat door is a great idea. And then, you know, there are, and I said this to the last caller, but there's also a feline diffuser that you can get that has calming pheromones in it. And again, I've actually seen some really good success with it. You would plug it in the garage and it's called Feel Away. And it just has a bit of a calming, it's their calming pheromones. That's what it is. And so just one way to kind of help him sort of relax a little bit, if, you know, because it can take cats quite a while to get used to new situations and scenarios. So, you know, trying to add some things in there to make him more comfortable. That being said, if the whole thing is just really distressing for him, there are anti-anxiety medications that can be prescribed by a veterinarian as well, if it were to come to that. So I think there's kind of a lot of things, but I would start with probably getting a stool sample checked and also just make, you know, the pheromones and things like that. Cats are funny. They're very challenging to understand.
Well, so. You know, he is a total sweetheart. I've you know, managed to hang on to a little soul for this long. And
yeah, you just want to do right by him.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, you know, it's just such a small little studio that I'm in now. It'd be feasible, and there's no way I'd have a litter box in there.
Yeah, well, so that's why I think, you know, just trying to make the garage as comfortable as possible. Like you said, get a pet-safe heating pad. They make little pet-safe igloos. I mean, you know, try maybe that diffuser that's calming. Obviously, you have a litter box in the garage. Those would be some starting points to just make it comfortable for them. And then I would consider a vet visit for the diarrhea.
Okay,
good luck, all right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye now. All right. So a few more minutes. If you have any questions, this is a call-in show, 963-2976. I did just want to, in regards to behavior and dogs, I wanted to, because I only have a few minutes left, tell everyone that October is Pit Bull Awareness Month, and I'm going to get on a soapbox here for a second because I can. Our shelters here in the Valley, but all over the country, are crowded with my favorite breed of dog. And I just think when we're talking about behavior and we're talking about breed-specific issues, everybody's scared of certain breeds of dogs because of how they look and a perceived sort of how they're going to act. I want to just shout out to the fact that it is Pit Bull Awareness Month. And I think if you're looking for a phenomenal pet, you could go to your local shelter and find any number of dogs, but they're crowded with pit bulls because people are scared of them. So definitely check them out. Thanks.